Oh, there he is. Okay. Seems like when he's off, we just get his picture.
Yeah, no, he's there. So.
Okay.
That's really him right there. Just he's really still right now.
Wow. There he is. Okay, so you guys, I heard you guys saying a few things, but I was talking to Mike, so just kind of recapping the what the last few weeks have been like.
Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had a 3-month period where I really had a lot of fairly intense encounters, and I guess I was looking for some answers to some prophetic things that we'd received. Mm-hmm. So I had a few involuntary encounters which opened up the door to engage in some different places I hadn't been before, and then having pursued that some more, then, you know, beginning of the year, I really wanted to see, okay, what's God saying for the coming year? And I've released quite a lot of that stuff on YouTube and on Facebook, really. There's a couple of a few Facebook groups that I was invited to join to participate with them. So I post some stuff on there. There's a one is called Ian Clayton and Associated Ministries and something or other. They're all private groups, but people can ask to join. But there's a lot of people in there. So I posted quite a lot of the prophetic words and things that God was saying, and it seemed to ring a few bells for people, because I've had quite a lot of contact with people since who seem to be resonating with it. And but it's been good. It's opened up a few new realms that I've not been before, which engaged and stuff. So we're at the beginning of the year really just sort of clarifying, this is what God said, this is what he said last year, this is what he's saying this year, this is where we're going, and basically, you know, inviting people to join the journey, really, or actually see if they still want to be on the journey, because Joshua, you know, gave people the option, you know, choose you this day, who are you going to serve, you know, are you going to go back to beyond the river, or are you going to come on this journey? So, you know, we've encouraged people to weigh that, actually, and just say, okay, this is where we're going, but we're going a bit deeper this year, and we're going to probably encounter some things that, you know, you've got to be ready for if you want to come. So we're just in the process of doing that. So I've done a couple of sessions on the prophetic words that God has given, and then I've got a couple of sessions on what sort of people does an apostolic people need to be, and then we're going to share some vision at the end of some of the things that God's told us to do this year. So, I like that sort of stuff. I like sharing things visionary-wise, and you know, hoping and encouraging people to sort of embrace it and to go with it. But so
awesome,
yeah. So how's it going with your situation? Are you still getting some glazed looks, or yeah?
Yes and no. I mean, it seems like more and more the family, if I call a family of faith, are getting the understanding that we're to look at the things that are not seen, that we're really encouraged to set our mind on things above, and so that's kind of been our lack of a better term, kind of our vision focus the last couple of months, you know, and that really pushed it hard and getting people to try to get beyond this physical realm that is so limited, you know, and limits us in really who we can be. Prophetically, January, the first Sunday, I really felt the Lord wanted me to preach on Jesus when he's in the house in Capernaum. And he's surrounded by, you know, all these people, and there's these four that are bringing this man, this paralytic, and the prophetic message that came out of that was just crazy, because of the four being the ones whose faith really initiate this movement of this man, you know, past the crowds to the place where a almost a catastrophic event takes place for this person who owns this home. You know, the roof is torn off, and that this man receives a grace to, first of all, have his sins forgiven, that Jesus addresses that. And he only addresses that two times in the Gospels. The rest of the time, it's always, you're healed, you're restored, and so. And I've really come to understand and believe now that the stories that are there were not just there for that time, were not just to communicate a story, they're to really communicate, and at different times and different seasons, I believe, the body of Christ, a prophetic word. And I believe that we are moving into a season where God's going to be, well, has been intervening in such a way that it's carrying us into what He wants for us, you know, because this man really didn't have, other than maybe just being, you know, in some way in agreement with these men taking him, it wasn't his faith, it was their faith. And so I don't know exactly how that plays out and everything that's going on right now. I do know that there is such a stir in the body of Christ. There's such a hunger in the body of Christ for more. And what that more is, it could be different for all of us. You know, it could be, you know, because as I was sharing on Sunday, you know, you know, if you're a hand and I'm a foot, you know, as a foot, I can't be a hand. I'm a foot, you know, and our different parts of a body all perform different functions. So that's one thing that I have been coming to. I'm still trying to engage. I have been experiencing more, I don't know if I'd call them visions, because I don't know, like you, if I'm one that really gets the pictures, but I can tell when I'm engaging. I can tell when I'm moving into, I think, a supernatural experience. And I was telling Josh yesterday, we went to a pastor's care meeting, they're called here, and on the way, and I was telling him that I felt that there's been some very unusual weather patterns in the Yakima Valley. I mean, we've broken three record heat hot days for this time of year. We've been up to 60 yesterday. Wow. That's almost 12 degrees over normal. And so I've really just been asking the Lord, well, what's going on here, you know, because I understand that there's signs that we get from creation when things are going on too. And so I really felt that I saw myself going, or I saw myself visualizing going around the valley and going around the area and seeing the different cities that represent our whole surroundings, and like gathering them into my heart, or gathering them into my burden. And I've never done that before. So that was a new experience. And have I engaged in the heavenly realm? I'm sure I have, but to what awareness is what I'm understanding, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. Okay. David, what have you been doing? Did he say already?
Not yet.
He's no, quiet. I haven't mentioned. I know I've been still listening to quite a few, you know, podcasts and I'm just kind of meditating on things of the Lord, but kind of with what Josh was explaining earlier, it's like during this holiday season, during this break, I've caught myself, I don't know if it's to say not pursuing as maybe as much as I was originally, if that makes sense. And it's kind of like letting the holiday season and the busyness almost be a bit of a distraction. I don't know if you will, but I know that was something I thought of, I think, a few days ago. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, that's kind of, I guess, kind of awkward for, you know, the Christmas season to be a time where you almost rest a little more from pursuing the things of God. I mean, this is He's the reason for our season right now. He shouldn't be the reason for our break right now. So, I mean, I've somewhat, I think, actively slowed down, I guess, subconsciously, because it wasn't something that happened on purpose. It just kind of happened, and then I realized it. And I was like, that's kind of a constant, needs to be a constant pursuit. I mean, something that's not just going to be done overnight, but, you know, a constant pursuit. And it's something that's in my heart. It's just kind of, I mean, I've even caught myself thinking, man, why am I not pursuing the way I feel I was before? So that's kind of been where I've been at. And, oh, and just to let you know, by the way, that E=MC² thing is confirmed. It's from a podcast for sure. It was Ian Clayton talking about it. And Pastor Mike and Josh actually found it for me and told me about it. And I was like, oh, I've been listening to every other podcast. But, yeah, I didn't listen to it. It was on a different channel than where I was normally listening to. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, because I know you said, Mike, that you know, when the Lord gives you something, it's something that settles and it stays and it's like confirmed, like a solid understanding within you. And yeah, so I just wanted to let you know too that it was a podcast. Yeah. I was just half asleep.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fine.
So where do you take this group? I know with others, you know, they've been. I've seen some of them, they've been engaging in some pretty substantial encounters, you know, in heaven, and we're willing to go on a journey with you by faith and just see what God would do, because I think you said maybe that's what you thought of doing next time, but maybe you've got some more insight now that from a few weeks ago.
I think yeah, you have to start somewhere in these mm-hmm. things, and you know, as I said previously, you know, it isn't so much about seeing as perceiving. So
right.
So long as you are opening your whole self as a whole person up to encounter God, that really is the key to it. So that, you know, you may well. Perceive something, sense something. As you said earlier, you know, you sense that you're engaging. You know that there's something about engagement that's going on, and it's just learning to tune those senses in more clearly and specifically. And I sort of feel that practicing, you know, the Hebrews 5:14, you know, training your senses through practice,
mm-hmm.
is key, and the practicing of it. Is to relax and to just allow any of your senses to engage and to experience something of God's presence, something of when you encounter Him. How does it work for you? Does it become an emotional thing? Do I feel something? Or is it a visual thing? You know, and sometimes, okay, what impressions am I getting from this situation, so that those impressions can begin to shape the experience for you. And so, you know, my encouragement, yeah, would be to just practice and let's just see where it goes, and let's see, you know, how you begin to encounter. So, you know, I did an encounter with a couple of German ladies yesterday, in which they have both struggled in the past to really engage with something, but yesterday it seemed that they went along on the journey and engaged. So, you know, I think it would be good. Just maybe we'll just do some basic, you know, exercises in a sense. I mean, in some of it is just activating the eyes of your heart can be very easy. You know, in a sense, you know, the praying in tongues inside and outside is a thing which, when you sort of, I mean, I guess you're praying tongues, so you know, you can pray in tongues out loud, and that's really easy. Can you pray in tongues in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can pray in tongues in your head. So then, if you pray in tongues in your head, can you also read the word? Or think about something at the same time. So I'm praying in tongues in my head, but I'm actually thinking about fixing my eyes on Jesus. And the same thing goes out. I'm praying in tongues out loud. Can I read the word in my head? or think about an engagement with Jesus in my head at the same time. So you're learning to do two things at the same time, which is all preparation for engaging the realms of the spirit and being in the natural realm at the same time. So living in those dual realms, when Jesus sort of talked to Nicodemus, you know, he was sort of saying, well, you know, I am in heaven now when I'm talking to you. So how? Well, his spirit must be able to engage. And praying in tongues in that way is a good exercise to do two or more things at once. And I actually found in the end, when I really got into it, then I could be praying in tongues without it being vocal and without it being in my head. Mm. My spirit just was bubbling away while I was actually doing two other things at the same time, which I found that really helpful, because that means that I can be preaching a word of God and my spirit praying in tongues being connected and bringing me things directly to say which weren't in my notes or what I was thinking. And the same when ministering to anybody, I can be listening to them, I can be thinking about what they're saying, but also I can be praying in tongues on the inside, so that, you know, there's this engagement of my spirit being edified. So I would encourage, when you do look to do some exercises, just look to begin to edify your spirit by praying in tongues and thinking about what you want to encounter. So it may well be as simple as, well, I'm just going to think about Jesus sat with his disciples, and I'm thinking about sitting there listening to him, and just see where that encounter goes. Or it could be, okay, using Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So I can be meditating on that passage and begin to think, okay, what is it like to be in a green pasture with Jesus, sat at his feet, listening to him?
Mm-hmm.
So then I can then tune into the thoughts that come as a flow of revelation that comes from God. And that is where you then can begin to either, maybe you're visual and you can see something, or maybe actually you're just using the eyes of your heart to picture it. So for instance, I mean, if you close your eyes now and choose to picture, let's say, your front door of your house, can you see it? Do you get an impression of what it's like? Do you just know what it's like because you can describe what it's like? By choosing to focus the eyes of your heart on something, can you engage? You know, and you know, you could do that with, okay, of a river, or I'm thinking of my car, or anything. In reality, it doesn't really matter what, you know, a door is a useful thing, because then when you come to open doors and gates, then you sort of have an impression that you can start with. So, you know, in that, you know, let's sort of say, okay, were you able to in that see anything or get an impression of your door? So how about you, Mike? Were you able to?
Yeah, when I close my eyes, I don't think I see it. I don't think I see it. I don't. I very rarely, you know, visualize something like that. But I do perceive it. I do see the doorknob. I see where it's sitting, you know, as far as the rest of the way the house is built.
Yeah. Okay. But, well, if you can do that, then you can engage in any of the exercises. And you can engage in any of the things that you can find in the Word of God in by faith, and because you can perceive it. So, okay, let's say you're reading, I don't know, let's say you're reading Revelation 3 and 20, and it's like, okay, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and we'll fellowship together, basically. So you can actually do the same thing with the door that you're just picturing, and then use the eyes of your heart to say, oh, I'm going to engage with that door. And so I'm going to open it. And then let's, okay, what are you going to perceive when you open it? Well, who knows until you open it, and then you begin to engage exactly the same way. What am I perceiving? And that is no different from having a full blown, okay, yeah, this is an open vision in front of my eyes. In reality, because the point of the exercise is that you engage.
Yeah.
And so that's the point of the exercise. What about you, Josh? Did you see, feel, have an impression?
An impression, perceive my, you know, if you will, I don't know how I've heard it referred to, the screen is black, but I can, you know, I can touch the door. I can you know, see, not in the literal sense, but I can see myself touching the door. You know, back some time ago, you were talking about when the Lord first showed you, and you went to that conference or something of sorts, and the guy said, do the sand, and the Lord said to you, this is for you?
Yeah.
Well, like when you were talking about that, I could, I was picturing it or not visualizing it, but I was seeing in my mind or my imagination, and I could almost feel the sand. It was pretty wild. So, like right now, the front door of my house, I'm, you know, when I do that, I can just see myself touching the door. And just so you know, I lit up pretty good when you mentioned Revelation 3:20, because that's where I've been lately. Just that one verse over and over and over and over when I have time or make time.
Yeah.
Even in service on Sunday, for example, during worship, I would stand there a little worried that people would kind of think I was cuckoo, but willing to deal with that anyways, because I would stand in worship and I would, with my eyes closed, I would open the door and I'd kind of be a little, you know, like I wouldn't really look around, but in my mind, kind of trying to terminate any worries about people. But that's what I would do, is I literally would do this. And I haven't, say, opened and seen yet. Like, I haven't been able to, for whatever reason. But over and over and over, that's where I'm at. Just that one verse, because that's where the Lord has me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the worst word, really, the verse that I used when we opened the first love gate. Because it's like, that is the door where the kingdom is in our spirit, and Jesus just wants to be let in, and the door handle is on our side, and he's knocking and he's saying, let me in. And so I that is the key to me. That is the key scripture and the key experience for every other experience, because if we can engage in opening that door, whether it's by faith or perception or whatever, to feel and to experience it, then that opens the realm in every way, because it opens Jesus to engage with me, the Father to engage with me in my spirit and then in my heart. It enables me to go through that door and go back into the realm of heaven, because he's opened it. You know, Revelation 3:20 is very quickly followed by Revelation 4:1. Hey, there's a door standing open in heaven, and come up here and I'm going to show you stuff. You know, so those are very clearly linked together for me. In experience, yeah, that's a really key one. What about you, David? Did you engage?
When I had closed my eyes, it was weird, because I mean I think Josh brought this up to us one day in service, and then it was actually, I mean, I closed my eyes and like boom, right away there was, you know, my door, but then here right now, I closed my eyes and it was just like completely blank. And I'm sitting probably about 10 feet from my front door. I wanted to almost open my eyes and just look at it for a second.
Well, that's great to do that. It's okay to look at it and then use the image in the natural to help you picture that in the spiritual realm. Because I do that all the time. And I use pictures to help people. So when I'm doing these exercises in a conference setting or in a group setting,
yeah,
I would use pictures just to put on the screen and say, okay, if you struggle with activating your imagination, just have a look at this picture for a second, and just allow that picture to be your starting point of entrance. Let that become the door that you can then begin to engage in. And, you know, I mean, Ian Clayton, who's had all these experiences, I mean, his thing was he's gone and stood in a river with a wetsuit on to see what it feels like to be in a river, because actually he had to engage in the natural to get the feeling of the light that helped him to press into the spiritual experience of it. And he's done the same with, you know, chopping chains and breaking chains with an axe and all sorts of things, you know. Now, I never really needed to do that personally myself, but I've sort of, you know, when I've done sort of these sort of group settings with things and we're there physically, I will go and encourage people, go and stand in the doorway. Go and feel what it feels like to stand on the threshold and walk through, and because you're going to go walking through doors, you know, stepping in, stepping out. What is it like to step in and step out of a room? Okay, did you feel different when you stepped in of the room? You're on the other side of the threshold, and then, okay, use that as the base. I'm just going to step into the realm of the heaven, or I'm going to open the door and allow Jesus to come and step into my realm, and it all begins to build up pathways for us of engagement. So, you know, there's no problem with looking and seeing, and often when I do these sort of mentoring things and, you know, I encourage people, let's close our eyes and let's go somewhere, I put some things on the screen so that anyone who's looking at the mentoring sessions afterwards just aren't looking at our faces with our eyes closed. I put some basic pictures of doorways, gardens, various things that I've sort of trolled around and find from various places, just that anyone who may also be struggling has something to just start to fix on, and then see whether that opens up the realm. So, you know, it all just practicing this stuff makes it easier in the long run, but you just have to persevere. But just find the tuning that works for you and not be discouraged that it isn't so visual. Because, you know, as I've shared before, often when I get involuntary encounters, they are more visual. But most of my normal natural things are perception and impression of description of where I am, what's going on. So I know, but I couldn't say that I'm actually, most of it is a vision. Most of it is my spirit communicating to me in a way that I understand where I am, what is here, what's going on. And it's taken quite a long time for that point. So, you know, we're where we are, and we just need to just keep practicing it, and don't be put off by, well, I can't see, because you can, because you've all just explained in different ways that you've seen something or felt something or experienced something in various times, and even the sort of the visions that people get, you know, and you shared earlier, you felt, you know, you were bringing the city and bringing the places into your heart. You know, those are very similar things that I've experienced myself that have been very, very transformational. You know, when I've taken taken the world or taken something into my heart, it's changed me and changed my affections and changed very much my desires, sometimes in spite of it, because I was sometimes doing it out of obedience rather than desire. Mm-hmm. But God responded and changed my desires, you know, as a result of being obedient and doing something I felt I knew he wanted me to do, although I was, you know, I was somewhat reticent over some things, and it was like, well, okay, I'm going to be obedient, and it changed the thing that changed my desire very, very dramatically in several occasions, which made things very different. So I think it's fine to do that. So let's actually go on one of these journeys and see what you see and what you feel and what you engage in, and let's see what happens. My encouragement in it is, if there's anywhere that you feel you need to stay and you feel, hey, I don't want to move on from here, this is the place for me right now, just stay. You know, don't think, oh no, I need to go to the next point or where we're going with it. Just begin to stay there. And, you know, you're releasing your spirit in this, in these things, to engage. You know, and you know, it's very much a release of the spirit just to begin to reach out and touch. So I'd encourage you to just basically just close your eyes and, you know, initially just begin to think about Jesus. You know, just begin to think about Jesus and think about his presence. Now, I just want you to think about your own spirit and Revelation 3:20 and Jesus standing at the door within your heart, within your spirit, and he's knocking. And the handle of the door is on your side. And coming around the door, you can see the light of his presence and glory. And just open that door by faith. Just reach out, open the door, and invite him in. Now, as he comes through the door into your spirit, I just encourage you to feel his presence. How does his presence feel? Feel his love embrace you. Feel cocooned in peace and in joy. Feel his embrace of affirmation, that he affirms the fellowship and the relationship that you have, the intimacy of this moment. Now, Jesus takes you by the hand and he leads you to one of the gateways of your spirit. And he invites you to open that gateway. And now you just stand in the gateway. And the gateways of the Spirit, the gateway of hope and faith, revelation, of reverence, of fear of God, intuition, revelation, worship. And just ask him to give you revelation of that gate. What is that gate? How does that gate function as you make him Lord of the gate? Just sense, what does it feel like to stand in the gateway? And you can just invite his presence. Now, I just encourage you to invite him to come within your own heart, to the garden of your heart. Just think of Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. And I'd encourage you just to think about that you are lying down in that green pasture, within that place of peace and rest, and that secret place of your heart, as you sit at his feet, he's there with you, sense his presence, just feel the pleasure that he feels that you are with him in that intimate place as Mary sat at his feet and fellowshipped and communed with him. You sit at his feet within that green pasture and begin to talk to him, ask him something, ask him a question. Ask him, how do you feel about me? And just receive the flow of thoughts that come to your mind from his heart. You are made in the image of God with creative ability to think creatively, to feel creatively. And I just want to encourage you to release the creativity of the garden, of your garden, and how you would like your garden to be, what you would like in your garden as God brought the animals before Adam to name and to shape. Think of the garden of your heart and think what flowers you would like there, what trees you would like there. Just think of the secret place that you would like to have where you encounter God in intimacy. And in your mind, create that place. Create that place of intimacy where you can go to that secret place where no one else can be, where you can sit and where you can fellowship and commune with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Just think of that. Just fix your thoughts on it and let your spirit release that creativity within your own garden for your secret place. Now also in Psalm 23 it talks about he leads you beside quiet waters and the river of life is flowing within the garden of your heart, flowing out of heaven, flowing through your spirit to bring that river into your own heart, to water, to bring life and energy. And I just want you to think about engaging that river. Just as in John 4, Jesus said, whoever drinks this water will never thirst again, for this water will become in him a spring, a fountain, a source of eternal life. And I want you to think of drinking that water, stepping into the river, feel the energy, the life, the purity of that water. Just let it wash over you. Sense the flow. Let it go deep within you. just sense how peaceful it is there, how still it is. Now just look around, just engage what's in the river. Is there anything there for you that God wants you to find? That Jesus is with you. His heart's extended towards you. And he wants to give you some fresh revelation and insight. For the river that's flowing in you to flow through you. To become rivers of living water that flow out of your innermost being. So just begin to sense that river flowing from your heart out through your life and forming an atmosphere of your spirit around you, that your spirit with that river enlarges, gets bigger, and begins to engage the world around you. As you become a gateway of heaven on earth, as the river of life flows out of heaven through your spirit into the garden and through you to the world around you. And when you engage people today, you sense that realm of the spirit around you, that your spirit will begin to engage with people, engage with situations. You'll be open for revelation that comes from that realm. That Jesus would begin to bring the sensitivity to your spirit to engage with him at a different level. Now, I just encourage you to step back into this realm now and let's see what you felt. How did you get on with that?
Similar experience with the door, just, you know, I don't know. I appreciate that. I value that, what that experience is. I right away, I looked at the screen a couple times and saw a couple of different pictures because I could hear you clicking them. So I had to see what I was hearing. But I definitely, I love that. I love what just happened. And I can't say it was but some big, crazy wow, but I can say that it encouraged me, like, for example, with the garden, to, you know, how would I picture it, how would I want it. And I think for me, I'm visual, so I think I'm going to go look, and I'm going to just kind of get different ideas, you know, say off the internet or something for, you know, gardens and, you know, just so that then from now on as I can, you know, I can do this practice on my own. It gives me something to go by, I guess. And so felt very at peace and even the presence of the Lord very clearly was able to feel his presence and yeah, different, but definitely awesome, very awesome. So
okay. What about you, David?
I that was a very I don't know how to put it into words. It was awesome. I mean, it was great. It was, I mean, getting a chance to, I mean, take the time to stop and visualize yourself, you know, with Jesus. And then, you know, right as you were saying, like the feeling his presence, I just started, like, there was just like a love, like just radiating. And then you said, you know, his love, and then, you know, like a cocoon. And it was just, I mean, and that's, those feelings were like happening before you'd even mentioned them. And it was just like, I mean, getting a chance to, you know, take Jesus, his hand, and I mean, just even just to stand there, you know, holding his hand, and just, I mean, just feeling like a love that's, I mean, unlike any other. And it was just, it was a very valuable practice and time that we, you know, had. And I think that's something that's important, to take the time to stop in the middle of a day, you know, to do. And I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can do that anywhere. And the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, before I get out of bed, is I open that first love gate, and I welcome his presence, and I sense his presence, and I just said, well, what are we going to do today? It's just like, okay, today's an adventure. Where are we going? What are we going to do? Because I've invited him in. For me, I take his yoke upon me at that point, and it's like, I want to be yoked to you today. I want to become one with you. I come from a place of rest. I want to learn from you today. So it just sets my day off, really. So I tend to do that every single day without fail, no matter what. It doesn't take me long, but... How about you, Mike? How did you get on?
About mid-December, I felt the Lord one time come to me and say, take my hand. Yeah. And I had to deal with kind of, because you know, I've always been with the Lord and known, but it was kind of odd for me to take a man's hand and, you know, in an intimate way, and so I had to deal with that. So when you said see Jesus immediately, that framework of what he started, I saw his hand, and then you went to the door, and I'm saying, okay, so how do I picture this? So it was a little awkward there because I was already standing with him with holding my hand, but that was no problem. But I do want to tell you this, because this is probably the most significant thing that's happened, is and I can still see it now, is when you said to build your garden, and I don't know if it's because of things I've heard or if it's just, you know, again, getting what you focus on, you start to become. But I started building my garden, and I could see it happening. I can still see it now. There was a path leading through it. It was by water. There's grassy kind of knoll-ish area there, and then I just placed a picnic table there because I enjoy food, so I figured I'm going to sit there and have, you know, food with Jesus.
I've got exactly the same in my garden. It's a picnic rug. Because it's Psalm 23 sets a table before me.
Yeah.
And I can feast there, and I can fellowship and eat there. So I've got that in my garden.
Yeah, and I put a big rock, and I could just see it happening. And so I'm really excited about going back to there now.
But now that becomes the doorway to your previous encounter. And for all of you, you don't have to start from scratch. you go back to the memory and you revisit it. And that's the key to everything. You keep revisiting, and it grows and it develops. So that's awesome. That's really excellent. Great.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That garden part was pretty like just powerful. Yeah. And yeah, it was like Pastor Mike, you know, saying that, you know, having that garden and being able to build it, you know, yourself, and it gets to be just like you want, and then even the river, like feeling the power in the river, and you know, and drinking of it, and you know, seeing Jesus there with you, it's just, I mean, yeah, excited to go back.
Yeah, excellent. You know, and in my garden, yeah, that's where I've learned to plant things. And I've developed my garden by, there's some things that just creative and they're great. And you just, hey, I like this in my garden. Some of the things that I've experienced in heaven, I bring into my garden. So my garden's got mountains in the background. It has waterfalls and different things that I engage in. But the significant thing for me in the garden is that every testimony that I have of an encounter or a scripture or any testimony of my relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, I plant there. So literally, let's say, okay, you've had an encounter with the garden now, I would take that as a seed, and I would basically go and plant it in the ground and water it from that river, and I would command it to grow, and it would grow into a tree with fruit on it. So any time I want to engage in that encounter again, or pass that encounter on to anyone else, I can go and take that fruit and eat it. And it's like that fruit is the testimony which opens the door for experience again. And I've got so much stuff planted in my garden that I can go back to and go back to and go back to. And quite often I visualize, okay, I'm talking to someone about this situation. Hey, I have a testimony of that situation. And I visualize, I'm going to take the fruit from the tree of my testimony, and I'm going to give that to someone else. And some of them are very practical testimonies of healing and different things, but a lot of them are testimonies about my personal encounters with God that I just plant there. And there are all sorts of fruit shapes and trees, but it's just a living thing. And so I'd encourage you, just, you know, as you're growing it, think about planting and think about that is the testimony that I'm going to use in the future to open the door for future encounters and to bring fresh encounters out of that. Because so many times I've had an encounter that has been awesome, but I was so taken up with the experience that I wasn't really looking and seeing the fullness of it. So I it was an amazing thing, and I'm like, wow. And then I go back, as I plant it, and I go back and eat its fruit, it's like the experience becomes like I see more, and I, wow, I didn't notice that, and I didn't notice what was going on there, and I didn't, well, Jesus, you're wearing this. I didn't notice that because I'm looking into your face and in your eyes. And actually, some of those things have just brought even further revelation as I've gone back over them. So the garden is a wonderful place. You know, and it's that secret place. I spend most of my time in my personal talking to Jesus, talking to the Father in the garden. You know, and yes, sometimes I follow that back into the garden in heaven, but that's my place of intimacy. That's the pathway of relationship that I've grown and developing. And it's great when you see the pathways. Okay, where's it going? You know, where are you? And I'm going to walk with Jesus along this pathway. Because if you think, you know, in Psalm 23 again, what does he say? I lead you in paths of righteousness. And, you know, and in other places in the scripture, it talks about the highway of holiness, and it talks about ancient paths. And it's like, wow, yeah, what am I going to discover on this pathway? Yeah. So it's great. You know, I think it's, you know, it's been really good. And I just encourage you, yeah, just keep going back there and, yeah, looking to develop that. And, you know, when we get back together again, we'll see how you go. It'd be great. You know? So I'm expecting some great testimonies.
Yeah, I'm going to purpose to go there now that I have some kind of you know, like I said, I can still see it in my heart now, and so I'll do it every day and multiple times if necessary, and build it so that next time we communicate, maybe there is something else you can take us to.
Yeah, oh, definitely, because that's just the starting point that opens up the door to everything else. That's my personal experience. It's what I do with most people is actually, okay, you know, we're engaging there, and then there's lots of different places you can go, and back into the river of life, back into heaven. It's a great place to go, and the tree of life, and there's things there, so I'm sure we'll be able to engage with those in the future anyway. So,
awesome.
Okay, all right. Okay, well,
you, Mike.
You okay for a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, that'd be